Brethren, we want to thank Brother Chris and Sister Marta Nepchinski for opening up their home to us. It was a wonderful blessing last night to be with the friends and have fellowship. We also bring love from your brethren in Hope, Indiana. They wanted to be remembered to you all very much. One of the brethren asked me if I was nervous this morning. I said, no, most of these people I was raised around. I don't feel real uncomfortable. Brethren, it never occurred to us to have a talk on just one word. We usually spend about a month thinking about what our topic should be and praying about it, thinking about it, and looking for the Lord's overruling our studies and in the class or our personal studies. But we, in reflection, we appreciate the Lord's overruling because this has been a year of considering for us in a lot of different ways. We have considered in our trip to Poland at a convention where we were in a barn and our talk was given on top of a hay wagon. And when you ate lunch, you stood up and had soup. I wonder how many brethren would come if we had one of those in America like that. But the truth came through very clear and very strong. We've considered about ourselves and our personal lives, how the Lord's overruled, and each one of us can think about that. Maybe sometimes we don't consider enough. We take things for granted. I know it's been our experience. But this word has great import to our lives. It seems very important to the stream of time that we're on. We are the feet members. We might even say we are the heel members. No one's ever called you a heel, I imagine, or if you didn't like it when they told you that, but you are. We are in the world, and we're not a part of it. And that in of itself is a trial. It's a trial for our children. It's a trial for us. It's a trial for our relationship from a business level. Every level, it is a trial. And it's meant to be. It's meant to keep us separate. We have trials in the church of new ideas, different thoughts being put forth. And we have trials with each other, which seems odd, but we have them, don't we? And this word addresses every single one of those issues. What we're going to discuss today is, first we'll talk about how the word consider is used in the Scriptures. Then we'll talk a little bit about how we should consider the great things the Lord has done for us. We consider the lilies of the field. We're also going to consider ourselves, which is probably the most important. Then finally, we have the privilege of considering our Lord and how that fits into ourselves. So let's go ahead and start if we could. Let's take a look and see how the word is used from the Greek I thought I'd open up the Strong's and look at the words and have some great revelation, but you know there's not. It's consider. In Matthew 6:28, and we'll talk some about these a little bit more. We'll go to, just to give some examples. And why take thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. That there is just to learn thoroughly, to consider, but to learn the lesson thoroughly. In Luke 12:24, excuse me, along the same lines, is consider the ravens. For they sow nor reap, which neither hath storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are they better than the fowls? So that there is to observe fully. Then we have Hebrews 7:4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. Of course, talking about Melchizedek. And that is to behold. So when you consider, you also have an attitude of looking or beholding, observing. So far we've had learn thoroughly, the idea of learning, the idea of observing fully, and then the idea of beholding, sometimes just standing back and seeing the majestic. When you see a mountain, I think of the word behold. It's hard to take it all in. It's so massive. Then Hebrews 12 and 3. For consider him that can endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And that is to contemplate. So all these words have the similar thought of what our English word would have of consider. So the word's a good translation, we think. So the first thing we want to talk about is 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He has done for you. These are the words of Samuel, of course, and they're on the occasion of the coronation of Saul. Samuel's character is almost like Moses. It's very hard to find anything to be critical of Samuel on. And he loved the Lord very much. Here he was the chief judge, you might say, in all of Israel. And the people of Israel have said, you know, really, we don't want you anymore, Samuel. We want a king. So here we are at the pinnacle of a transition from the judgeship, which worked fairly well. People were blessed under that. To a period of kingship, which Samuel knew was not going to be a good thing. And so on this occasion, he says, look back at the things the Lord has done for you. Think about the spiritual blessings you've had. Because the spirituality of the nation was rather high. And it took a dive after the kings. In Isaiah 1 and 3, we think it's summed up very nicely of how the Lord looks at those that do not consider Him. Isaiah 1 and 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people does not consider. The nation of Israel did not consider the Lord. And to that extent, they lost a great deal of blessing. And that's why they thought it would be a good idea to have a king. So Samuel is suggesting to them to look back. And brethren, we think it's an important thing for us to do also. Do we remember not just our initial conversion, but the way the Lord has blessed you? We had an experience recently where there was an individual that was interested in the truth. And the Lord was calling them. And they came in, and they knew a little bit about the truth. They'd had a history. And their knowledge just shot up. Within a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, you could just see they were studying. They were putting things together. They understood deep things. You know, they were on the sin offering and appreciating it and grasping the concepts. And these weren't things that we were putting in their head. These were things they were reading. And when the Lord said, put them to a decision point to make a consecration, they decided it would not be what the Lord would have them. They did not want to do that. They wanted to live here on earth. And we saw the knowledge just level off. Brethren, that's the power of the Lord that you can see. But with us, it doesn't level off. And do we consider what it was like to first understand the ransom and what a joy that gave us? That is no less special than the Lord overruling in your lives today. Past experience is a basis for future trust. And the Lord's past experience with us is a basis for our continued trust in Him. We cannot allow ourselves in the middle of the trial to overwhelm our experiences of the past. We have been given such wonderful things. Brother Russell, in an article, it's reprint 4199, and he says, consider what you have. He gives redemption. You cannot buy redemption. It's the most precious thing in the universe, and you can't touch it with any type of money. We have light. And that changes our lives in ways that it's hard to imagine until you talk to the world and see the desperate straits they're in. We are a son of God. Now, we often say that, hi, brother, how are you? Hi, sister, how are you? Brethren, those are not just titles. Those are privileges. You have a father that created Saturn and Jupiter and keeps them from bumping into each other. But also, we have these wonderful, exceeding great, and precious promises to cheer our hearts in this wilderness journey. How many times have you been sitting, maybe at the supermarket and you're in line, and maybe the person in front of you has a child that has a disability? And you're thinking, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have the power that our Lord had to reach out and touch them and heal them? But brethren, we will do that on a massive scale. And these exceeding great and precious promises have to be before our mind or we will not be faithful. We have to keep them there and remember the wonderful privilege that we have to be sons of God. The world has a saying that they live by, and that is, what have you done for me lately? We can never let that attitude be with the Lord. We have to consider the things that He's done for us. We'd like to quote from reprint 4199. It says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. He's just quoted the 1 Samuel text we talked about. It is well that we note the distinction between the outward service and that of the heart, the mind, the affections. Outward service that does not spring from the heart will soon wither away. So think about that, brethren. Have you ever had an experience where someone says, could you pick me up for Sunday? Oh yeah, happy to do so. Be right over there to take care of it. Then they want to be picked up the next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, and pretty soon you're picking them up to take them to the grocery and whatever. If your attitude is wrong, then you'll soon resent that, because it's the heart. But if your heart is right, it'll be a joy each time you do it. Outward service that does not spring from the heart will soon wither away, whether under adversity or prosperity. Hence the Lord always appeals to our hearts, give me thine heart. So long as our heart is loyal to the Lord, it will control all the products of life, because it will lead us to seek to know the Lord's will in everything. This will takes us to the Lord in prayer. It will take us to the Word for instruction. It will assist us in understanding the Word, giving us more and more the spirit of a sound mind. So with all our doing, we need to guard our heart, don't we? So consider the great things the Lord has done for you. Consider the lilies of the field. That's Matthew 6:28. We read it earlier, but we'd like to go back and read it again if we could, brethren. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. neither do they spin. Fear and anxiety will destroy us. In reprint 5875, we read something that took us a long time to assimilate. It's a very interesting concept. He says, Brother Russell quotes this, he's talking about that, and he says, the Savior had this in fact in mind when he spoke thus to his apostles. He would have his followers be without worry, be restful of heart. To be without worry. You know, recently in our natural experience at the company I work for, they came through and said, okay, you know, all data processing, we're going to ship off to India. So, probably won't have a job. Well, our first reaction was not the best. It was like, oh my goodness, what do I do? I got to get my resume up there and start working, you know. And all those things are prudent to do. But the most important thing is to remember that the Lord has taken that responsibility on for Himself. Let's take an example. Say we have a people that go out and mow a lawn, and you have the one guy that drives the tractor, he gets to go out and he gets to mow the lawn with the tractor, and the other guy has to walk around and use the weed eater. It's not as fun. You like to drive the big equipment. And so constantly you're looking over and thinking, oh, he's not doing such a good job on that mowing. Maybe I could do that for a while. And so pretty soon you're kind of over there helping him and maybe riding on the side and pointing out things. You know, you missed a spot, let's get that one there. And you're not taking care of the other job of actually doing the trimming. And brethren, if we tell the Lord how to take care of our lives, we're doing that. It is a separation of job responsibilities. He has told us He will take care of the raiment. He will take care of the food. He will take care of where we live. It's our job to do diligence and help Him to do that, not get in His way, and look for opportunities to see that will completed. But that is a separation of job responsibilities. And for all of us, that's a very hard thing to give up, isn't it? Philippians 4:6 tells us to be careful for nothing. Well, that works out pretty good. We can sit at home and just have the checks roll in, right? Well, no, we can't do that, can we? We are not to be over-anxious about anything. We are to take ourselves in hand and wrestle down the fear that we might have. Let's consider the lilies for a moment, if we could. The lilies have all that they need. They have food. They have water. And sunlight. And so do we, brethren. In fact, most of us have not only the bread, but we have the butter to go along with it and everything else you can think of. We have been blessed very much in this country. And that too is a test also. But going to another country where the brethren are maybe not as well off or blessed as we are has made us consider how much do we really need. To live, a person doesn't need a whole lot. These lilies, they have raiment. All the things that they need. Do we have raiment? Yeah. We've all experienced this. You know, you go to the closet, oh, I have nothing to wear. Well, then we have more things to wear than most. What's important? Do we consider when we go to the meeting to be a blessing to the brethren, or do we think about, oh, is my color going to match? Or am I going to have the same dress or suit as someone else or whatnot? Lilies do not wish that they were a tree. They don't say, oh, you know, I'd like to be that big tree over there. That'd be really nice. I could really serve people. I could be out and have some shade and people could come under it. That would be really wonderful. They're content with the lot that they're given. Appreciate in reading this, Brother Russell makes a statement that the lily is a humble flower. It's a beautiful, humble flower. But it's not like a daisy that has all sorts of them or all the different flowers. It's just a small flower. It just sits there. Brethren, it's a lesson of trust. And I don't know about you, but I know I've needed that lesson a lot. To give up the responsibility that you feel that you have to someone else that concerns those that are dear to you, such as your family, your children, is a very, very hard lesson for some of us to learn. Some are more type A personalities. They want to have everything taken care of and be in control of everything. We can't do that. Because at our consecration, we gave that opportunity up. And the manna text for September 12th, we think, is a wonderful thought. It's actually from reprint 3245. After using reasonable diligence. Now, what is reasonable diligence? Each one of us has to figure that out. But it's not unreasonable. It's not going too far. He says, after using reasonable diligence and energy, we should be content to leave the results and times and seasons with the Lord. Now, sometimes that can be an overabundance of wanting to do good things. You ever been witnessing somebody and you're just thinking, if I just find the magic word, they're going to get this, and you work on them and you work on them and you work on them and you work on them? Well, that's probably not using reasonable diligence. Because what you're really saying is, it's my words that are going to get them the kingdom. And that's just not right. We've often heard parents, they'll say, oh, I hope my child consecrates. I have to do a good job. Well, you have to use reasonable diligence. It is the Lord that makes the call, not you. As an example, in our class, Brother John Baker, he came out of the world. He made a consecration. And I believe you can see the evidences of his consecration in his spirit. Does that mean his parent did a better job than someone that raised their children in the truth and they didn't consecrate? Absolutely not. The Lord chooses those that He can use. We must use reasonable diligence and then be willing to leave the results with the Lord. And that's hard. Also, brethren, the lily isn't able to see far off. It's pretty small to the ground, pretty low to the ground. It doesn't see the sickle coming down the road ready to kill it. We don't see much of what's ahead for ourselves, nor should we try to control that. Without, there again, that reasonable diligence again. But we can go too far about checking this and checking that and this stock and, if I invest now, and then I can retire early and serve the Lord. Will we? Well, you need to be serving the Lord now and not worrying about those stocks. Maybe if you worry about them, you shouldn't have your money in stocks. Maybe you should take them out and put them in something like bonds or in CDs or whatever. Or maybe in the harvest work. That's another place you could put it, and you'll get better dividends there than you will anywhere else. If we worry, we do not trust. And if we trust, then we don't worry. But brethren, this can only be experienced. That's why we have a hard way. We have to learn to trust. And it comes through experience of over and over again seeing the Lord's overruling our lives. We need to create a trust in our hearts. Now for some this is very natural. Some of the brethren don't have a problem with this, but some do. But whatever the case is, those that will be faithful will have trusted fully, completely. We'd like to look at Luke 12:24, and this is a companion text. And it seems interesting that the Lord would use two examples. In our first thought, one would think, wow, the lilies is enough. There's a lot of lessons there, isn't there? Luke 12:24. Consider the ravens, for they sow nor reap. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. How much more are ye better than the fowls? when we first got married, there was a time where, you know, when you get married, you're sometimes learning how to use the finances together, you know. Because when you're single, you don't talk to anybody about finances. You just go and do what you want to get. And so sometimes you forget. And I can remember one time we were overdrawn. Somehow we hadn't communicated together and we were overdrawn. Oh my, what are we going to do? Right there comes a check in the mail from someone that had borrowed some money from years past and had just decided to pay us at that time. And it was just enough to cover it. Is that a happenstance? No. Was it silly on our part? Yeah. Did we learn a lesson? You sure did. But brethren, all of us are covered by the Lord. He helps us. Even when we make mistakes, He helps us. So the ravens don't go out and spend a whole lot of time worrying about what they're going to eat. But they do spend time gathering food. So we have to use reasonable diligence there again. But not to be consumed with that. And to learn the lesson that if sometimes we get a slap on the hand because we didn't handle it properly, and the Lord says, fix that. And we have to be diligent in fixing that, don't we? Brethren, we'll move along now to another subject, and that is considering ourselves. It's obligatory, I think, on the speaker to say, look, this applies to me as well as you. There's nobody perfect this side the veil. And we all have things to work on. And that's the apostle's point in Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. For Manna text for January the 12th, it says, let us learn well this lesson of reproving others gently, very considerably, kindly, by a hint rather than a direct charge and detail of the wrong. By an inquiry respecting the present condition, of their hearts rather than respecting the former condition in which we know they have erred. We are to be less careful for the punishments that will follow wrongdoings than for the recovery of the erring one out of the error of his way. We are not to attempt to judge and punish one another for misdeeds, but rather to remember that all this is in the hands of the Lord. We are not in any sense of the word to avenge ourselves or to give chastisements or recompense for evil. How many have failed at this? I have. Why, most of us here have, haven't we? Do you want revenge? Maybe not revenge, but well, they should be corrected for what they just did. They need some help on that, and I'm just the person to help them out. Is that? Sometimes we can have that. It can be cloaked. And Satan can cloak it as to the extent of, well, I'm going to go help them out. I'm going to go correct them. I've told this story before, but it was a good thing for us when we were younger with one of the elders. We had two brethren where I was arguing with a brother over a very minor point of truth. And I was, by golly, he had to see this because his life depended on that. And I pretty much beat it into him. And so he said, well, he started to doubt, you know, whether he could understand this. Maybe he wasn't, you know, the Lord's. So we went to an elder together, and the elder sat us down. He listened to both sides. And I was kind of happy because the elder agreed with me on this point. And he turns to the brethren and he says, I see the Lord's Spirit in you. I have faith the Lord's going to take care of this. And that was it. What wisdom is there? We have to give each one of us time to come to an understanding of a certain item of truth. Sometimes, I know, it's hard to believe, we could be wrong. And then the Lord has to show us what was done. But also, if we are going to be in the business of correcting the brethren, we better do it in a way that's best for them. But also, as the apostle says here, what's best for us. Consider ourselves. Now, in this text, the apostle is talking about two things. He's talking about those that have fallen away from a sinful matter, and those that have fallen away from a spiritual matter also. We are not beyond falling away. For we're not on the other side. The matter is still open whether we're going to make it or not. For each one of us. I used to work with a man that... It's amazing how the truth has a permeation into the world that we're not aware of. This man was... He shared a cube with me and we were working one day. He says, you know, he says, I've heard a while back about this religion of people that... They believe that there's 144,000. He says, you know, and they go out and try to find others. He says, that's just ridiculous. He says, they should just hang on to what they got. And I said, well, I'm one of those. And we had a chance to talk to him about it. Brethren, we're in the business of helping each other, or we won't be faithful. It's just as simple as that. Now, there are some times when we have to do more than just reprove. And that's when eldership is involved. In the hour of temptation, which I'm sure we're all familiar with that article, Brother Russell says, it is evidently a sin to vote wrong in a class election. A sin to vote wrong. It's not something that we should take flippantly. If someone is not holding to the truth, our first response should be, consider ourselves. Go back and dig into the volumes. Consider the things that we've been given. Let them come into our heart. But also try to help that person. And sometimes the way to help them is not put them up as an elder, so they can't do damage to others. If you're doing something wrong, wouldn't you want to be stopped from that? Of course you would. So we have a responsibility to each one in the ecclesia to make sure that those that you would have serve you are clear in the Scriptures. Now, we have some that are very smart. Doesn't make them clear. We have some that are very nice. Doesn't make them clear. I would imagine the Apostle Paul was someone that was very firm in what he believed. And that may not have been a happy thing to have. When he withstood Peter to the face, you think that was a really jovial meeting? Don't think so. Peter afterwards was blessed, but he withstood him to the face and said, you're wrong. There are many things that are floating around the truth movement today. A lot of different thoughts. We were quizzed in Poland on a lot of different subjects that we thought were very disconnected. And what they were doing was, they had their list of things they felt were problems of people diverting from the truth, and they want to know how I saw these things before I was going to serve anybody. And there's nothing wrong with that. If anybody wants to know what I believe, or if any of you have a thought that you'd like to share, usually the Bible students don't have a problem talking. It's been our experience. Usually, with my experience, I've had a problem keeping quiet. We should be bold and be happy to say what we believe and be able to defend and show. And sometimes what we believe is, I don't know yet. I'm still working on that one. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But back here to what the Apostle Paul is telling us, is that there are some that are going to go off, whether it be on practice or whether it be from a scriptural standpoint. And we should help them through prayer and through direct communication. But in the final analysis, we have to make sure that we don't get pulled into that, because we can fall also. We have to consider our ability to fall. Many of you have seen recently there's a thought on the chronology going around, changing what we believe to be the chronology. And it gave us cause to consider and to look at the history. I'm a big history buff, more than I should be. I know that. But if you look back at all the trials that the brethren have had in the last century, they have some commonalities. If they're along. If you look at what happened in the covenants, 1909, 1910 period, a personality or a group of personalities had a different thought, and they drew people away with them. The watchtower, what was it? It was personalities. Oh, that brother, he really knows what he's talking about. He's a wonderful brother. Yeah, how could he be wrong? Go on farther. The 1950s was some of the thoughts I was given there. In the 60s, and the split with the Don. Once again, personal people would come up, they were very affable, and would put forth a doctrine, and would draw some away with them. And we see the same thing happening now. Satan gets a good thing and he uses it over and over again. We must know and consider what we believe. And that's it. Now we know from experience and talking to the brethren here that the volumes are held in very high esteem. And that is our first line of defense with error. So if we want to consider, as the apostle says here, we need to consider from that standpoint of how does it line up with what we've been given has been proven. Brethren, in any situation, there's always a truth and an error. It's our job to find that truth, isn't it? Let's go on to something that maybe it's a little bit more pleasant. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 is a wonderful chapter. It sits right behind 11, which is not pretty obvious. It helps when you have schooling. But 11 is a discussion of these wonderful people of faith. And it goes through the whole thing. And it comes down to the verse 12, first chapter. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, brethren, we have witnesses watching us. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, brethren, that goes back to the lilies of the field, doesn't it? He's the author of our faith, and guess what? He's going to finish you. He's going to finish that faith. He's going to create that church. It is His work, not yours, not mine, not anybody else's. It is His work, and He worketh in you, if we can trust Him. Who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your own mind. Brethren, we too have a cloud of witnesses. Each one of us are witnessing each other. And how many of us have been taught of the Lord by watching our brethren? We all have. And we want to be a good example. Our Lord, what do we have of Him? We have His example and His words. So we too want to be like Him and be a good example and have good words. But also there's a cloud of witnesses that's on the other side of the veil that we know, that we had intimate knowledge with, that have died. And we are being observed by them. And they're cheering us on. You know, the world of mankind also at a funeral will say, well, Uncle Johnny, he's watching us today. Well, we know that's probably not right. Uncle Johnny's waiting for the kingdom. But brethren, when the brethren die, and if they're faithful, they are watching us today. And they're cheering for us. Brethren, we consider him when his light that was shining was not appreciated. Have you ever had that experience? Yeah, we all have. Lest we be weary and faint in our minds. We can get weary with well-doing. We can get beat down from the world. That's logical, and it happens to all of us. It's a cause. And that's why the apostle tells us, look unto Jesus, so you won't be weary and you won't be faint. Are you tired of the battle? I often think, oh, I get tired of the battle. And I look at some of the brethren that are twice my age and have been in the way a lot longer, and they're still going on. There's another example of how we can gain encouragement from the brethren. We cannot be weary in well-doing. So in summary, brethren, what do we consider? What is in our hearts? Do we consider only certain days of the week? Do we consider only certain times of the week? Do we consider at work? Well, we have to put our mind upon the things that are there. But when we have an opportunity of rest, that mind should go to that. We should consider. It is an attitude that we all have to get to, of trust, of faith, and that really is love. And these things, along with the memories of what the Lord has done for us, help us in the narrow way. If we do not consider ourselves, what great thing the Lord has done for us, the idea of the lilies of the field, and the truth movement in ourselves as a whole, brethren, we won't be faithful. May the Lord add His blessings to the truth that we've spoken here today.